We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, on the bottom of the screen here on Twitch, is producer and co-founder Brian Goins. Brian? Off to a great start here. Brian can't hear me. On the left of my screen. Yeah, we're killing it.
I can hear you now. I don't understand.
Okay, well,
literally right before you said, welcome, 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 my audio went out, and now it's back.
Oh, good.
Crushing it. Vintage Heat Beat,
producer and co-founder Brian Goins. That voice you just heard on the left of the screen is our anime lover and professional photoshopper, Brass Jazz.
What's up, everybody?
And on the bottom left of the screen is Heat Twitter president Alf, host of Hangover Time, post-game show here on Miami Heat Beat.
What's up, everybody? I got drunk watching football.
Did the Giants make the playoffs? Did the Giants make some noise?
Unknown yet.
If the Redskins lose, the Giants make the playoffs. And the most surprising thing about that is I had no idea the Giants had a chance to make the playoffs. And I'm a Giants fan. Like, I just stopped watching football about 12 weeks ago. So can
someone explain to me what the hell happened with the Dolphins? So are they in the playoffs? Are they not in the playoffs? I don't understand. I know they lost.
They blew it.
But like, can they still make it if like the Titans or something lose?
No, it's done. The team that they need, they needed four teams to either lose. All four of them are probably going to win now.
Okay, so the Colts now.
That's like the
Colts are winning like by 20 points at halftime.
So. Yeah,
and they're playing the Jaguars, who are the worst team in the NFL. Your Jaguars.
Tank season. Jaguars. They got some number one pick. That quarterback's supposed to be good, right?
I don't know.
Maybe that kid is.
You're the Jaguars guy.
I don't know. I don't.
You're the Jaguars. Wait, are you telling me? Are you announcing to the world that you don't give a fuck about the Jaguars?
No, I do. I do care. That's why I said
for all this time.
But that's why I said that they got. You know, they have the number one pick. I know that they got the number one pick. I know that we accomplished our goal. Shout out the chat for the bits, Twisted Tapioca and TTV G7. All right, we're not talking about football because this is a Miami Heat podcast. We're going to talk about the Miami Heat. First and foremost, Ira Winderman today reported of the Sun Sentinel that Avery Bradley was in the medical protocol. Now, I think we thought it was COVID, Brian. You told me it wasn't COVID.
Yeah, Anthony Chang just reported off the 530 team injury report that Avery Bradley is questionable for tomorrow's game with a stomach illness.
Okay, so I'm going to give some personal background story. For Christmas, the day after Christmas, we had raw fish. We had some raw oysters and clams. My mom's boyfriend got food poisoning, had all the COVID symptoms, including body aches, got tested, came back negative. Doctor's like, you have food poisoning or some sort of gastric something or other. So we were good. Test came back negative. So maybe Avery Bradley ate some bad shellfish. Alf, your analysis.
Bad shellfish. First of all, my analysis is as much as I've been drinking, don't ask me to say shellfish because it's tough.
How much have you busted out the brown liquor today?
No. But I just posted in the chat that I will take a fireball shot for every new subscription.
Ooh. And look at that. Ramonch underscore just gave us a tier one sub. Shout out to you. Shit. Where's the fireball? Dale.
All right. So I got to take. So should I go grab it now?
Yeah, go grab it now. Go grab it now. Well, I'm going to get to Brass about the Avery Bradley situation because, okay, I'll put the camera off. He's coming to get it.
Alf is going to go full J.R. Smith on Hangover Time tomorrow.
Oh my God! Yeah, there's gonna be no shirt. At some point we have to do something. We need to set up a sub goal here on Twitch.tv/MIAHeatBeat for Alf to go shirtless if we get like a certain amount of subs. Why are you laughing, Brian?
Darkwing Pinky gave 10 bits for Alf to say shellfish.
Okay, perfect. When he comes back, we gotta let him know that he gotta say shellfish. Yo, shout out to QTruth10, legit down to Twitch for this podcast. We appreciate you. Brass, kind of getting back to the Avery Bradley thing.
Yeah.
He's been probably one of their best players in terms of like shooting the ball. He's been really good. He's been really consistent on offense. So I was
third best scorer on the team right now.
No, it's crazy. He's like one of the best spot up shooters in the league. And the Goran Avery Bradley duo, they're outscoring opponents by like 25 points per 100 possessions with the 126 offensive rating, which is just absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
We kind of dismissed the signing, and it looks like we're kind of wrong on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're just doubly wrong because you were so excited about the Moharkla signing. And then you sort of flip flop those. He's good defensively, maybe not, you know, in terms of his health. Clearly, he can't shut that down.
he can't get the shellfish down.
Some shellfish word to Alf. Alf, you got to say shellfish.
Yeah, somebody shellfish. Gave 10 bits. Somebody, there you go. Somebody gave 10 bits there for you to say shellfish, and they did. All right.
But defensively, I mean, he's and scoring. I mean, he's a solid player. And there's a lot of people that are lamenting on the loss of Jay. But honestly, seeing what he's doing right now in Phoenix is not. It's nothing to write home about. He's Phoenix, right? I don't even fucking know.
Yeah, he's in Phoenix.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You know, it's funny because so as Alf pours his fireball shot, I've been working on a piece for MiamiHeatBeat.com and it's going to post tonight or tomorrow morning. Alf, don't spill. Alf's spilling the fireball all over his podcast.
I'll spill it on my wireless keyboard.
This is tremendous. I'm writing a piece, and it started out as a piece talking about the Heat situation at power forward and kind of what their long-term solution could be until they possibly make a trade, and it just turned into a Mo Harkless hit piece.
Not hard. I'll say the alphabet, and then all of a sudden by like, you know, letter D, I'm gonna be slandering Mo Harkless. It doesn't take that long.
Alf, before you take that shot of fireball,
shake it first.
You gotta shake it? Why? You're mixing it with ice? This motherfucker has a cocktail mixer?
Chilling it.
Yeah, I wanted to chill it. I don't want to drink fucking
Look at
more
this
fire
guy. Oh,
classy.
Ice ball.
Wow, look at that. Oh, nice pour. Let's just not spill it. That looks good, Alf.
Not too much dilution, I hope.
That's quality. I'm drinking a beer. I'm drinking a Havana Lager. Alf's just pouring the straight fireball shot.
All right, that's for the first sub.
You sub more, Alf will make some more fireball. That's a face. Someone clip that. Someone clip that face.
Yikes.
Alf, do you want to guess Mo Harkless?
How long I've had this fucking fireball for? Like, I've had it since I moved in here in July.
I was like, how long in quarantine have you had that?
Yeah, it's disgusting. Oh God, why do people do that? I feel like a college frat girl.
Well, if you want off to feel like a college frat girl, please subscribe.
Why doesn't he like me? I'm sorry, what?
Sounds like my life. Do you want to guess Mo Harkless's field goal percentage throughout the season?
I think
so
it's
far?
29% or something.
Oh, that's way too high. It's 17%.
Oh my God.
Mo Harkless has
not even legal.
He's only made one shot all season, right?
It's been more than that, but he's missed every shot from two.
Wait, no, he hasn't. How many points does he have on the season? I think he has 3 points.
Does he? Is it that low? Because I know for sure that he's missed every single shot from 2 point range.
And he's made one corner three because I remember DMing Tiffany Meeks about it.
Okay, so it Mo Harkless like has
3 points.
It was his first. Yes, he's one for four from three, one for six overall.
One for six. All right. So we need someone to give us some bits so Alf can do one more shot so we can have shot more shots than Heartless.
Oh, of course. Somebody needs to sub. Somebody step up and give a sub so Alf can have more shots than Mo Harkless. He's played 44 minutes this season, has made one shot, has 3 points, has 5 rebounds, 1 assist, and 6 fouls.
It's early.
It's insane. His stat line, it has to be the worst for the first 40, like, because 4 more minutes and he's played a full NBA game, right? It has to be the worst start in Heat history. Like, I can't imagine anybody has played that many minutes and then produced this little in Heat history in their first 44 minutes.
He'd be riding the bench in the Heat media game.
He wouldn't start for Heat Beat.
Right. I think we could use him to spell Alex, right?
Alex
doesn't
we
play
have
for us anymore.
Twisted Tapioca gifted a tier one sub to just be OB23. You know what that
just
means?
Bob.
Just
Bob.
Yeah.
Just Bob. I'm just reading letters. There we go.
Record.
Oh, we got another person subscribe of Prime. Jesus Christ.
Wait, yeah, how
Tiffany
many
weeks? Good luck. That's 2 shots right now.
Oh, that's 2 subs. Yo, shout out to the Prime sub Bando.
Did you guys Did you guys see what the bet with Tiffany Meeks was?
Is it the jersey thing?
Yeah, points, if Mo Harkless scores 10 points on tomorrow, we have to buy her a Mo Harkless jersey to wear on Hangover Time.
That'd be great.
Tiffany and Meeks, I think we're going to have to make that custom because they don't have those ready in the Heat.
Oh, I think they do.
Really? Who's buying a Mo Harkless? Who owns a Mo Harkless jersey? I want to know the person... You know, George Sedano said on Hangover Time the other day that we just find a dude to pick on.
Vice versa jersey right now for $120.
That's a ripoff. They got to give those.
We're getting
that out.
It's estimated to ship the date of June 1st.
We're getting that one from China.
Yeah.
We'll get, we'll bootleg something. He's been bad. Tropical Blanket Troppy Baby in the chat is saying, I would be shocked if Mo would get to 10 points total in the next 2 weeks.
Now, I want him to go like offensive explosion. I want like 9 points in the first quarter. Like he has 3 corner 3s. And then we're getting down to the fourth quarter and Tiffany's shitting her pants and he hits a layup. And like now she has to wear a Mo Harkless shirt.
We got
to
throw that moment on a fucking shirt.
Just the moments t-shirt.
I said his moments t-shirt right now is a turnover.
That should be a shirt idea for one.
His moment shirt is a pass going through his hands into the stand. We should like juxtapose James Johnson throwing a pass. You remember how you should just throw a pass into the third row?
Yeah. Yep.
And and just going through Mo Harkless's hands. Like
every game.
Dark
Okay, I'm going to shake. I'm muting so I can shake up my shot.
Alf's going to shake. Brian,
do I have to do 2 shots?
You have to do 2 shots.
Oh my God.
Listen, you
this
started
is
gonna
be
this.
Bad.
You started this. Brian, yeah. Mo Harkless went. So I'm in doing this piece, I've done a lot of research. And it's funny that we're kind of juxtaposing
shit is
my
sticky.
You chose gross. The fucking drink.
You chose it. You offered. No, this wasn't a
fucking. I have like really expensive crown I could have taken. Well, you don't want to take shots.
No, you got to save that for LSO. You got to say, by the way, check out Light Skin Opinion, Alf's Black Opinions podcast. It's one of the best out there.
I think we're going to do a live stream this week because Chris had a wedding. And there were like people there, and I don't want them in my house.
That's good. See, look at that. We're safe here on Heat Beat. Okay. Kind of tie back to the Mo Harkless stuff because I want to kind of finish with that. He's been.
Am I derailing the show right now?
No, listen, we love it. We're this.
I don't know why you asked me to come on these things. It's fucking.
I advertised a vintage Miami Heat Beat episode on Twitter, and this is what we're getting. We're getting derailing as I want to talk stats.
There's like sugar everywhere.
That's the worst part because the hangover just makes it bad.
Oh, I'm going to be so fucking hungover tomorrow.
Oh, and we go back to work tomorrow. So it's bad. The Heat in Mo Harkless's 44 minutes on the court, Brian. The Heat have a 79 offensive rating when Mo Harkless is on the floor.
Oof.
Is that good?
Which is.
Is no, that like PDQ where the lower the better?
No, it's the opposite of PDQ. It's the opposite of PDQ. The Raptors have the.
Kelly Oubre.
The Raptors have the worst offense in the league, and he's somehow 20 points worse than the Raptors.
Wait, what was that again? No, I just want to,
the Raptors have the worst offense in the league. And when Mo Harkless plays, the Heat are worse than the Raptors, who have the worst offense in the league by 20. Ooh,
that's really bad. Yeah, that's pretty bad, right?
That's bad. Bottoms up.
To be worse than Raptors.
First shot.
Bottoms up. We're going to kill Alf here live on the show.
I'm going to drink some more water.
Yeah, just chase. Give yourself a little bit before you go to the next one.
Hope your mic doesn't go out like Christian the other night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd probably be funny.
Your voice is going to change pretty soon.
He's been awful. He's been absolutely awful. He's been terrible. And like, I don't know what their solution is at power forward. Like, I've kind of crunched the numbers and I've looked at stuff. You know,
we know what the solution is. We came up with it on the last Hangover Time.
Start Kelly.
Kelly's the solution.
And that's kind of what, you know, spoiler alert, what the ending of the piece is. I mean, the Heat have been really good with Bam and Kelly together. Oh,
thank God I don't have to read your piece.
No, yeah. I'm giving you the Cliff Notes version. He was a plus
1,500 word story.
Too many misspellings. Yeah. Didn't read.
We're at 1,900. Sorry, Brian.
What's that meme where it's like, I'm not going to read all this, but either congratulations or I'm sorry that this happened to you.
When I tweet that, that's what you have to tweet. You have to tweet it at that at my story.
More planning on it. No, yeah, it's for you for writing.
I'm trying.
I stopped writing like 2 years ago.
Writing sucks. I hate it. I texted Alex the other day when I was writing Alex Solillo 5 on the floor, and I was like, writing sucks. I hate this shit.
It's a miserable experience. Writing is a miserable fucking thing to do.
It's lonely. It's hard. And then, like, when you get stuck, it's like demoralizing.
And no, you're never happy with it. And people are like, never, that was awesome.
That should be Mo's nickname, demoralizing.
Demoralize us.
Demoralizing?
Demoralizing.
That's the name of the pod. back to our roots. Yeah,
Darkwing Pinky saying there's a solution. He says, you got to start calling Mo a bad shooter over and over like you did with Jay.
I mean, well, it hasn't worked so far.
We've been slandering Mo for fucking weeks.
The crux of our content this season has been Mo Harkless slander. Maybe we should praise Mo.
I mean, just honestly, in case, we're gonna keep slandering just in case, but like, no, that's not going to help.
Did it feel like on the nose when George called us out for like picking on one guy and like harping on it? I felt like, bro, don't give out the fucking secret sauce. This is what we do.
That's the move.
It's like every time Smoot tweets out, like, stop quote tweeting people just to dunk on them. I'm like, motherfucker, that is my entire existence on Twitter. Like, I find the dumbest fucking possible take, and then I quote tweet it, and I shit on it, and act like it's a common take. And I'm like, you guys are all idiots. And it's just one dumbass in my mentions with 30 followers.
That's the formula. That's the formula to success.
It's Alpha 54. It's jazz, baby. It's just, you know.
Alf, those tactics got you into the Heat locker room. When the executives know you.
And it's probably an indictment.
Is it true that Annie Ellisberg was a fan of your work?
I don't know. Me and Andy aren't like cool, but Andy enjoys my content or like whatever I do.
You think the height of the organization.
Yeah, he thinks I'm funny.
I mean, you are.
And then on 5 on the floor, I would say shit, and like Andy would like text Ethan, like, tell Alf he's an idiot, or oh, the Alf was right about this, or that was hilarious when Alf said that. You know, he would listen, and apparently like Pat listened. Like, the good thing is like Pat, Andy, none of them are listening to Heat Beat.
No, yeah, so we're
don't
free.
Don't worry about anything we say.
Yeah, we're good. Like,
we're free. We have free reign. No one cares about us.
Except that one time.
We're rogue. Except that one time.
Yeah, that
except
one
that
time.
One time. But other than that one time, we've been pretty rogue.
And it wasn't the Heat listening. It was fucking Tim Reynolds.
Right.
No, not that time. The Bang Bros time. We interviewed Bang Bros and then everybody got mad at us.
I was talking about the time that Tim Reynolds got mad because I said he looked like Grimace at the 800 degrees restaurant opening.
Yes.
Yeah, let's air that out some more.
Yeah, let's just.
We're going to lose access, Brass? Come on.
Good point. Good point.
Good point. At this point, you know.
Whatever happened with the fucking naming of the arena, by the way?
It's on hold.
I think it's going to be the Kia Arena, right? Isn't Kia on the floor?
No.
Is Kia still open? Is that a company still?
Kia, the car dealership? Yes. Chat's asking if we interviewed Bang Bros. If you remember during the saga of renaming the arena, Bang Bros said that they wanted to buy the rights for the arena and they wanted to name it Bang Bros, the Bang Bros Center, the BBC. And we interviewed an executive at Bang Bros to see how true they were, which the interview was just me making fun of them. Bottoms up, Alf. Second shot. And then, you know, apparently people didn't find that as funny as we did.
I'll take one more shot. If somebody subs, I'll take another shot and tell the full Tim Reynolds story.
Oh, shit.
There you go.
So let's go.
Somebody subs. Somebody gives a sub. We will give a full Tim Reynolds story on this podcast that is of Heat Beat lore. So before we get into that, I do want to talk a little basketball because there is basketball that's happening.
All right.
And kind of going back to what we were talking about Kelly and Bam playing the four and the five spot. The thing I really like about that is not only that, you know, Kelly and Bam have like a repertoire playing together. They've been really good for many years. This season, they're +19 net rating on the floor together, which is really, really good. The best part about all this is Precious Achiuwa, who is their rookie center, has been absolutely phenomenal and particularly good when he's the only big man on the floor. So when he's without Kelly and without Bam and when he's the only guy on the floor, the Heat are running teams out of the gym. They're plus a lot. I think they're plus 19 as well. Yeah, they're plus 19 per 100 possessions when he's the only big on the floor. And to me, Alf, that tells me that, well, if you have those two guys starting and Bam and Olynyk, you're not sacrificing any kind of front court depth or anything because, you know, you could put Andre at the four with Precious or whatever you do, and you're going to be fine.
One of the things that where you'd want to stagger Bam and Kelly in the past was, did you have another big that can get a rebound, push the ball, run a little bit of offense through them? You know, did you have that big in on your bench? You did not, right? Now you do. You have a guy like Precious who I feel like he grabs a ball, and if there's an open floor in front of him, he's not looking to pass it. He's pushing the ball. I'm not saying you can run it through him like you do Bam or like you did with Bosch, but he's offensively skilled enough that he can push the ball up. He cannot get you in the offense, but he can get the ball across half court and get you, you know, now you're in offense with 21 seconds left on the shot clock. Like, he's that kind of guy. So you don't need to, quote unquote, save Kelly for the non-Bam minutes. And then what was happening, you weren't even saving Kelly for non-Bam minutes. Like, sometimes Kelly would just get lost in the sauce. Kelly has been one of their best players this season. Like, and I people might think I'm crazy for saying this because I shit on him all the time on Twitter because Dante DiVincenzo and other 6'2" guys are getting offensive rebounds over him. Kelly Olynyk has been one of your best players this season. Him starting next to Bam Adebayo to me is the only answer, right? And he needs to play 25 plus minutes. Bam needs to play 35 plus minutes. And Precious does not only need to play the 13 minutes Bam isn't on the floor. I think there are times that you can play Precious and Bam together. Like, let's say you are struggling to stop the other team from scoring. They're killing you inside. Put Bam and Precious out there because they both can guard the perimeter and they both can stop interior scoring. So I think the way to get Kelly the minutes that he needs to be productive, the Kelly and Bam lineups we know have always been historically successful, just go for it at this point. Kelly Olynyk should be in a starting lineup until you find some other answer. The answer on the Heat right now is Kelly Olynyk, unless you go out there and find somebody else. But that's the answer on the roster right now.
Like, I love that, and I love that we agree because, like, he's and I know that he's a guy that's most likely to get traded. You know, he's kind of the salary that you want to move, but I think for sure as a short-term solution, you want that. In the playoffs, that gets a little dicey. I think that Miami's their best when they could put five out. It's Jimmy and Bam up top kind of doing what they do, and you kind of surround them with shooters and guys that could switch. The Heat's 100% upside is going to be filling that four spot long-term. The Kelly thing is just... it's a patch, right? It's like, let's get through this regular season. Let's get through these games until we get to the deadline and we can find a guy like, you know, I saw that Twitch chat was mentioning before, Jeremy Grant. Otto Porter is a guy I really like too. Like, maybe they can swing big for one of those guys. But like, until then, I think that that's kind of the move that, that you have. And he's been good. Precious has been good. And I think that's going to solve a lot of what you have. Like, and like the numbers aren't gaudy, right? Like, I think the defense are like at like 97 defensive rating or something. Bam and Kelly, like, obviously, like, maybe they're not that good defensively, but I think the offense that they have is certainly very real. And some that I don't think that net rating is very fake. Sometimes you see some numbers and you're just like, okay, well, this number clearly is not sustainable. Like, I look at what they do and I don't think it's like that unsustainable. So, to me, that's the biggest
thing. I would be very cautious to look at any offensive rating, defensive ratings, or net ratings for this season.
Oh, for sure.
I do think that there are some things that when you look at Precious, yeah, they're really there are some things there that translate going forward. It just off of eye test alone, I wish Brass had the eye test imaging. Off of eye test alone, Precious is, I mean, when he's out there, like he does so many things that Bam does. It's amazing that they found another guy like this. But the Kelly thing, I'm not just talking about this season so far. This is a historical thing with Bam and Kelly. They are really, yeah, really good always together. And the last thing is season, just because Kelly starts, because Kelly and Gorn play well together too, just because Kelly starts doesn't mean you can't play Gorn and Kelly together. And then that means when Bam sits, you're still going to have some of that overlap of Gorn, Precious, pick and roll, which has been amazing over the season. Like, I feel like they're there, but I think, you know, I think with Eric, he's gonna look at every other answer before he comes to the answer that makes the most sense. Just to make sure, process of elimination. Like, I think he's already eliminated Mo Harkless. I think he's eliminated KZ a little bit too early. But I don't think Casey's a starter.
No, but right now, when everything is, I mean, the league is so bizarre right now, it's like upside down, and you can't, it's so hard to analyze these things because, you know, and, you know, one game, the Bucks are shoot a historic amount of threes against us. And then, you know, another game, we went, what was our drought from three? It was unusual. I mean, there are just a lot of unusual things that are happening right now. And so right now, honestly, I just wish that in this sort of uncertain time for all of these teams, I wish you would get some more play out of KZ. I think you need to see what you have out of some of these guys.
KZ, Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, like, I would rather see all of those guys get minutes and we still lose than watch Kendrick Nunn go out there and be completely useless. Like,
Right. Honestly,
if it was me, I'd make Kendrick Nunn inactive because we know what the fuck he's bringing to the table at this point. You know what I mean? Like, if there's something going on with him, he needs to get his shit together. But if it was me, all these young guys, I wouldn't play them heavy minutes or whatever, but I would, those guys would get more minutes than a Kendrick Nunn would. Like, I would see what these guys had to offer. I think we've seen a little bit of that, but I also do think we've seen too much Kendrick Nunn, right? I think we've seen
way too much.
I think we've seen Gorn play too many minutes in some of these games. And honestly, you need him, but if you're going to lose these games anyway, let's not waste Goran Dragic minutes. You know what I mean? I don't think Jimmy should have played at all last game.
None.
Because he was a net negative in the box score and just on the court while you watch the rest of the team look at him and see if he's going to do something. He wasn't right yet. And you lost the game anyway. You scored 83 points? 93? What did they score?
Something ridiculous like that, yeah.
Like, in 2021, like, I mean, come on. Like, I just think that I like what Brass is saying. If you're going to experiment, let's go with the experiments. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're half-assing the experiment stuff now. Like, you're playing too much. And then Tyler Hero barely played after the beginning of the third quarter, which I didn't understand. Like, we saving Tyler's legs, but not Goran's? What the fuck are we doing here? Like, what is, you know, I'm not one to question Eric Spoelstra. I say that all the time. That's one of the funny things. I say it all the time. I'm not one to question Eric Spoelstra. And I question him all the time.
Hey, everybody. Before we get into today's pod, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here on Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you wanted to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and e-learning course filled with tips and tricks. On top of that, we'll get you show published to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and other listening platforms. And the best part is that you can get this all for $15 a month. That's the same rate that any other hosting site would just charge you for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to your sports experience. Acceptance to the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more. That's bwhustle.com/join.
That's the move.
Well, like, for, you know, the Goran thing's funny because, like, they, you know, in the Milwaukee game in the blowout, they decided, well, Goran's gonna play 2 minutes and he's not coming back in. And then they kind of run him into the ground. The other guys just is a little bit inconsistent, and then they save Tyler, who I thought was playing pretty all right. And you either want, you know, they were kind of really force feed the Tyler point guard minutes. You know, you either want it or you don't, right? It's not like Dallas is this elite defensive team that's really gonna bother the shit out of Tyler Hero, right? Like that's the game where you kind of give him those point guard reps. And if, you know, if they're gonna put Josh Richardson on him, that makes Jimmy's life a little easier. But I'm with you, they shouldn't have played Jimmy. You know, I know that he's probably a guy that's gonna want to be out there. I'm sure that he's probably gonna be out there next game, whether we like it or not. And this week's, it's like four games this week. That's a lot of stuff. They have a back-to-back at the end of the week. It's a lot on the legs, and they have older guys. So that's
Goran had a break. The second half of that blowout versus Milwaukee, but Goran hasn't had a real break. Had more breaks recently.
Their only good win so far this season, and the season's young, and five games doesn't mean anything. And I think I want everybody to understand, like, the shit that we talk about, the sample size stuff, the numbers that I'm tweeting, all this stuff that I'm writing, we have to also keep in mind that it's been five fucking games and Cleveland and Orlando own the league, right? So nothing really matters concretely. You know, we're just kind of give projections and see what's working and what's not working and what's going to trend right and what's not going to trend right. You know, like, we're just trying to figure some stuff out, but...
There are things that we're watching that translate going forward, right? Like, we are seeing things that are like the whole point guard situation. I think that's a legit concern, right? I'm not talking about just because they've lost games. If they've won these games, like they won the game on Christmas Day, and I was still like, they don't have a point guard.
But, like, what about the point guard? Because, like, I kind of feel like that got solved with Avery Bradley and kind of sliding Tyler over.
There's a problem. If you start, Avery starting is only works when Jimmy Butler is out.
Yeah, but like,
if Avery Bradley starts, then you can't play Tyler Hero.
Why? You could. They did. They played Avery, Tyler, Duncan, Jimmy, Bam.
Who's your power forward?
Jimmy. I mean, they've done it already.
No, Jimmy's.
Yeah, that Jimmy's played 14 via cleaning the glass. Jimmy's played 14% of his minutes this season at power forward, and
that's not your starting lineup.
They've done it.
No, they have not.
I mean, they haven't done that, but they've played those lineups.
You can play that in spot minutes, but that's not your starting lineup.
Like Alf in the playoffs, they're going to start Goran anyway.
But that's what I'm saying. What about But here's my thing. If you don't have another, if you have to rely on Goran for 30 something minutes a game, is he going to be available in the playoffs?
I mean, I think that you kind of want to lower his minute intake, but I think Brass in the playoffs, like that's what worked last season, right? Like they kind of saved Goran.
How many months of layoff did we have before the bubble?
Alf, I mean, it's not. I mean, let's not pretend that Goran is Blake Griffin or anything. I mean, Goran's a seemingly. By the way, Goran is the best transition player in the league this year. The motherfucker's running up and down the court. He looks fine. He looks healthy.
Do that for 72 games and see how it works.
I don't think he is, and I think they're going to put a cap on the minutes and they're going to kind of be careful. And I think Spo's been careful with guys in the past. But, like, I think when shit matters and when it's nut-cutting time, it's going to be Goran and Tyler in the backcourt.
What time? And
in nut-cutting.
Oh.
I like that phrase. You don't like it? I've been saying it a lot in the pod. No, we're out on nut cutting time. Yeah, I stole that from The Athletic. Dave Dufour says a lot. Oh, shout out to Dolphin
0401.
Dufour's my guy, man. I know that after the fucking ban.
No.
Oh, that means I have to tell the Tim Runnels story.
Oh, yeah. Dolphin 0401. Shout out for the Prime sub. We appreciate you. Alex Solillo could not figure out how to Prime sub. Tell that at the end. Let's save it for the end. Let's kind of get through our basketball talk. We'll save the Tim Runnels story for the end. Alf's taking the shot.
I think this team is you know, they're a finals team. They've just made the final. I think they need to start treating Goran a little bit more like Wade during a big three era. I think you need to sort of bubble wrap him more often. I just do.
Yeah, but because Jimmy's look, hurt.
No, I know. It's early. I know that. But I'm just saying, I hope that this trend of just, you know, kind of playing Goran into the ground right now is not going to continue.
If Jimmy's healthy,
that's what I'm saying,
they'll be fine. They'll be fine. And when Jimmy's healthy, they're not going to have to play Goran a ton of minutes. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm going to like check the minutes right now. Like, if they're healthy and if they have like enough ball handlers, he's not going to have to play that much. It's kind of been out of necessity. But he's only played 23 minutes. He's playing 23 minutes a game this season. Like, let's calm down.
Okay, but that's because he didn't play half of a game in five games so far.
I know.
So he's playing a lot of minutes
when they're trying to win.
Yeah, he's playing heavy minutes and he's playing important minutes. And this is my thing. Jimmy misses a lot of time. I went back and I was going through my Instagram and I had a video at halftime of like the first game of the year. And I was like, I wish Jimmy Butler would calm down because I don't want him to fuck up his ankle. The next game, he fucked up his ankle and he's missed 2.5 games, came back and scored 2 points. But so like in the last 3.5 games, he scored 2 points. Okay. So you're going, because of the short offseason, you're going to lose time from Jimmy Butler. That is my whole thing. Like if because Jimmy can't play, you're relying a lot on Goran Dragic, it is not a recipe for playoff success. That is my whole thing. Because Jimmy's going to miss time, and you do not want Goran playing 30 minutes a game. Because once you get to the playoffs, you talk about being healthy, they're not going to be healthy.
Listen, I agree with that. I agree with that. But what I'm saying is that I think that they have a regular season point guard problem. Because when it comes to the playoffs, you know, you want Bam at center, and you want Goran as your point guard. And then the rest get filled in between those lines.
Gee, the regular season point guard problem becomes a playoff point guard problem.
No, when, I know, yeah, I'm agreeing with
Goran Dragic is in a wheelchair.
I know, I'm agreeing with you. But this is why Bradley, like, I
agree with you there. Bradley, when Butler can't start, is the way to go.
I think that Tyler should come off the bench. I got to be honest with you.
I agree, but
I think that he helps the bench units.
I don't want the alt-right army coming after me every time I fucking say something about Tyler Hero. Jesus Christ.
Oh, the fans, it's getting to Hassan Whiteside level of cult fandom.
Jack Harlow gang be after me if I say anything bad about Tyler Hero. And I don't even say bad things about Tyler Hero. I just say I want him to put in successful positions. And because I say that doesn't mean that he'd be the starting point guard. I think they consider me an enemy of the state. It's so weird.
Ken Boner's in chat is saying that he wants Tyler Hero back on the bench too. Yeah, I think it kind of slides. I think Tyler deserves a starting role. I think it's probably important to him as a young player. I don't know what they'll do in the playoffs. I know that Tyler started out of necessity in the finals. You know, that's to be seen. But I think that kind of the best thing for them is to kind of put him off the bench. But I mean, this is all moot unless they find a solution at power forward, like a long term, because Kelly's not the playoff solution.
Yes, so, he like is. That, I think he is.
I think without a doubt he is. In the playoffs? No, their strength was you can switch everything with Kelly.
They wouldn't be able to switch. They had to play drop with them. And I think something you guys aren't discussing, like, I know you're talking about like not wanting to play Goran and a lot of these guys heavy minutes, but like at the end of the day, we're still playing. Shout out to Alex. We're still going to be playing at arenas. We're not playing in a bubble for the playoffs, so there's going to be road games and stuff like that. Who knows what it's going to be like in a few months if there'll be fans and stuff. So I kind of want the Heat to try to get a home seed.
Probably
a 2 or 3 seed. I don't know if they're going to be able to get that high. Right now, they're not even in the playoff contention.
They have a top 5 player in the East. Like, they have two
but
top.
That's the thing. Like, we need to see Jimmy play heavy minutes probably for us to even be in that spot. And who knows by then, like, how much wear and tear is going to be on all the guys that we're relying on.
I think Brian is being super reactionary, but he has a fucking amazing point.
No, he doesn't.
No, he does. He does. Because the Heat don't have, like, if Jimmy misses significant time, if you rely too heavily on Goran and he gets hurt, like, what the fuck happens if Jimmy and Goran are hurt at the same time? This team is
trade for Harden. That's what happens.
Listen, Alf, this is the formula. If that happens, Duncan better shoot brass. Duncan better shoot.
Duncan can't get open unless he has a playmaker.
How was Duncan get open? Honestly, they'll double team him.
Run that handoff.
And they'll leave Mo Harkless open.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, shit.
That's the game where he scores 10 points.
I was wondering, where do we rank in terms of turnovers in a league? Because that's
last, pretty sure.
Yeah, we got.
I mean, it's absolutely infuriating.
Like, turnover percentage, we were at 20% in the last I saw.
We can't even get shots up. That's the problem. Like, our offense is we'll be shooting like 55%, and we're down 20 points because we don't even have that many field goal attempts.
He'd have,
and then last game they actually limited turnovers. Then they just couldn't hit shots. Yeah. It was. Yeah. Listen, I'm not taking too much away from what's going on right now.
Alf's eye test. The Heat have the fewest field goal attempts in the league this season.
Yeah, it's what happens when you fucking turn the ball over 20 times a game.
Yeah, Alf's eye test. The problem again. Heat. Yeah. So that's a weird thing for them. They're last in field goal attempts and they're last in turnovers, which is just not very Eric Spoelstra. But I mean, part of that is Bam's turning the ball over on 28% of his possessions, which is just that's just not going to happen. I mean, he's too good for that.
Well, so, like, the thing is, this team got a lot of continuity playing together. They haven't played together in quite some time. Oh wait, that's not the fucking problem. That's the thing. they've had like 2 months off and they don't know how to play with each other anymore. Like, they, I don't know. Like, they didn't turn the ball over a lot last game and they just couldn't hit a shot. So eventually all that shit's going to level out, but the problems are going to be the problems. Right. And Mo Harkless isn't the answer. If you guys have watched Jay Crowder play this season, he wasn't going to be the answer. There's one answer out there, but I'm done talking about it because he's fat and he goes to strip clubs. And everybody's a priest.
Honestly,
now.
Could play the four.
They use him as a four oftentimes on defense.
Bro, one of the best post defenders in the league. But listen,
he's fat.
All of a sudden, everybody in Miami is a moralist while they do coke off a stripper's asses. But whatever. But now we're worried about
everyone's
morals.
Everyone's clutching their pearls because James Harden wants to go to Tootsie's.
These guys are tweeting from Pervert's Row at fucking Porthole Pub in Deerfield Beach about how fucking James Harden.
You made that name up.
Porthole Pub in Deerfield Beach, bro. Look it up.
Share your story before we go.
Hold on, wait. I want to get to some BAM stuff real quick because
BAM's great.
No, we're gonna go. I want to get to some BAM
story
stuff
while I take a shot.
Okay. I was kind of looking through some BAM numbers this season, Brian, and like he's been obviously the turnover stuff is like inexcusable, but he's one of the best role men in the league. Like as a pick and roll player, he's been elite. 1.7 points per possession as the role man. That's like third in the league, and his volume is absolutely insane. He's the third most used role man. It's just him and Goran, specifically him and Jimmy when Jimmy's going to be healthy. I mean, like he's taking a leap, like a second leap. That's what like he's doing right now. He's shooting 58% on that little one dribble pull up, which is just like absolutely absurd. And if he's going to have that in his back, because he's going to have that shot whenever the fuck he wants. And if he's going to hit that at that clip, he's probably not going to hit it at 58%. But if he's going to hit it at 45 to 50%, I mean, that's just absolutely ridiculous. His finishing has improved every year that he's been in the league. In 2018, it was 64%. And in 2019, 72%. 2020, 73%. And this year, it's 83%. That's superstar shit. I mean, that's the shit that gets you from, you know, a guy who's like at the fringe of all NBA to an all NBA like staple, a cornerstone. Like, that's, you know, the free throw attempts, I think, are probably going to be around 8 this year, which is, again, that's a superstar leap, getting to the line, all that stuff. Like, he's been so fucking good. And I know that they're 2-3 and everything feels like shit, and Jimmy's not, I mean, their best player has played 2.3 games. Like, their Jimmy has been like, played nothing. They look weird and bizarre. They have this weird issue of power forward, and yet they've basically been about 500 despite everything going as bad as it can go. Their turnovers are through the roof, their offense sucks, and yet here they are, and they have this bona fide superstar who's still improving. It's just absolutely fucking outrageous.
It's nice to see him be more aggressive. I mean, we've been wanting to see that. You know, he would always get the ball and he would look to pass it or end up, and like, you know, now he's actually shooting it, you know, when he's open. And and it's and again, this is like what the tinkering that needs to be going on right now. That's a shift in his game. And I think, you know, he's proving to be the incredible player that we know he is. And he's going to get better. He's going
to
get better.
He went toe to toe the other night with Giannis when Giannis had a triple double.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and he was a much better defender that game than Giannis was.
Sure.
Like, Giannis was depoy. That motherfucker ain't look like no damn depoy to me.
No,
like, he
not was at not. All.
He defensively, he was actually shitty in that game.
Hit him with the Kyrie crossover.
Yeah. Oh, come on. That Hezzy? Get the fuck out of here.
Hit him with it.
And then John Crotty is like, this is what I call a Hezzy. I'm like, John Crotty.
Oh, boy.
Alf, you mentioned it. You mentioned it on the post.
John Crotty invented basketball, according to
him. When John Crotty said, you know, Allen Iverson used to palm the basketball, Eric, and, you know, that's what made him so tough to guard for me. I'm like, yeah, John, that's why. That's why your ass couldn't guard Allen Iverson.
He was tough to guard because you were wearing house shoes, Crotty.
Like, come on, dude. Like, I couldn't believe that. And Eric is just like, moving on. I was like, come on, say something.
Yeah, Allen Iverson, John Crotty had a hard time guarding Allen Iverson because he carried the ball.
Fuck, come on, face, Crotty. And like, low key, like, just like a sideswipe to poor Allen Iverson. Like, AI might be the most Teflon dude in the league. Everyone loves AI. Listen, I'm not like the biggest fan of his game, but I will never say bad shit about Allen Iverson.
How racist it is.
Oh no, he took too many shots. Shit.
Oh my God, Alf cut out at the perfect time. Out. What'd you say?
Oh my God.
That's it. Oh, wow, shit. Censorship from the top.
Alf, tell your story now. Let's go.
Wow, this has happened twice on Heapy. First with Christian, now with Alf.
It's unbelievable.
The mics get drunk. This is insane.
Fucking fireball.
That's fucking, I can't hear you, Alf. This is insane. This is the second time this happens. Wow.
How do we fix this?
You're turning it
I don't
over.
Know, but Alf was about to say some scorching hot shit that started with something racist.
Can you
and
hear
then,
me?
Yeah, yes, that was
good. Oh, John Crotty is in our IT department.
So when Crotty said, they're fast enough already, don't give them the palming call as well. And I was like, who's they?
Oh my God.
He said, no, he wasn't just talking about Iverson. He was like, they're fast enough already. I was like,
oh boy.
Maybe he means Slovenians. Maybe he means Slovenians. Luka. Maybe
he did. And he was talking about Iverson. Okay, so I'm going to tell the I took my shot. I'm going to tell the Tim Reynolds story. So for five reasons sports, they decided to trust me and Giancarlo Navas to go cover the opening of 800 Degrees Firewood Kitchen or whatever in Aventura. Giannis has him in Dwayne Wade's restaurant. There was a red carpet and everything. We were out there. I even put on a nice shirt.
Me too.
Johnny had like fucking three different cameras. I didn't know what he was going to do with them. Who gives a shit? We were there. I think Ira was there. Tim, all the, you know, Anthony Chang, who's the nicest guy in the world. So we're all there.
Well, they were like, all there waiting. Because Dwayne Wade hadn't decided if he was going to come back or not at that point.
Yep.
I asked him a question. Exactly.
Very scared, very meekly.
So we didn't have, so we were there just to, you know, see if he would say something. And whatever. We're there because we thought it was cool.
Plug in the restaurant.
Then we weren't allowed inside though. Like Ethan was invited inside to go, like, have the sample dinner and everything.
Yeah.
Like, we were there for the red carpet, and then they're like, you scumbags have to leave. Like, you're not allowed.
Do you remember where we went after?
Yeah, but I'm going to get to that part.
Okay, okay.
So that makes we're out there, and then Tim Reynolds is out there, and I don't know where Tim Reynolds thought he was going, but he was wearing the shiniest purple suit I've ever seen on a white man in my life. Like, he looked like he was guest preaching at a Black Baptist church that weekend. Like, he, like, it was baggy, it was bright purple, it was shiny. Like, he looked like he was just stepped out of a Diddy video from the mid-90s. He was like, Mo Money, Mo Problems, I'm fucking Tim Reynolds. So anyway, then I was like, oh, cool suit, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're trying to impress somebody. They were like handing out waters. I grabbed a water. I even like gave him one. I was like, hey, you need water because you're sweating because you're wearing a fucking purple suit in August. So
it was odd.
Yeah, I gave him a water. Odd. I was very nice to him. We do the whole thing. One of my fucking videos where somebody asked Dwayne if his kid's going to go to college at University of Miami, it goes viral. It was a good night. We had fun. And then they kicked us out because it was like important people time. So me and Gianni are like, fuck it. We're going to Tap 42. It was a Tap 42 or Yard House?
Yeah. It was Tap 42.
We went to Tap 42.
In Aventura.
We go to the bar. There's a really pretty girl there. And I asked her if she likes anime. And she actually said yes. So I grabbed G's phone and showed her his home screen. And it was like some... half naked anime girl in a
don't slander. No, what they yeah, weren't. No.
Yeah,
stop making shit up.
In a school uniform,
it's probably not that much of a girl stretch. Was, G.
Yeah, and the bartender was like, "This nigga's weird," and she got really she didn't really talk to us that much anymore. But there was like a live heat beat happening right then, so they were like, "Oh, let's call Alpha and G live from the
Red 42."
It was fun.
Oh, it was Tap 42 at that point.
Yeah, we were doing a show with Kate. She was hosting for the first time. And then it wasn't just you guys that were doing an event. It was also Christian was doing an event with, I think, James Johnson.
Yes. It was on Miami Beach.
I think my mic fucked up again.
We can hear you. Just go. Don't touch any mics. Just finish the story.
All right. So Kate's hosting, and then they call us, and I am drunk as shit at this point. So I went into this whole fucking rant about how Tim Reynolds looked like one of the kings of comedy. And like he had the Steve Harvey suit. And I'm roasting Tim Reynolds for like 5 minutes on the podcast. And it was funny. Everybody's laughing. And then we posted. Unfortunately, Tim Reynolds is a really good friend of Kate and tuned in to the only Heat Beat podcast he's ever heard because Kate was hosting that one, heard himself getting slandered and called the Miami Heat and was basically like, Miami Heat Beat is unprofessional. Like, they shouldn't, you know, you don't deal with them. They're a bunch of clowns and this and that. The funniest thing about this is after I left and went to Five Reasons, I'm the one who got credentialed. Miami Heat Beat.
We were stuck with your sins.
Miami Heat Beat got blackballed. I'm in the locker room next to Tim Reynolds. Hey, what's going on, brother? And I'm like getting access
nice
to
Heat
players. I'm the one that called you grim, motherfucker. Whatever, but I'm here anyway. So anyway, that's the Tim Reynolds story. That's why I don't fuck with Tim Reynolds.
Apparently you do.
I do fuck with Tim Reynolds whenever I get a fucking chance.
Oh my god. Yeah, that is that story is of Heat Beat lore. Oh, welcome back, Alf. Well, we're glad you're back.
I'm not gonna fuck you.
You're like LeBron, like when he leaves the team, just leaves it scorched without assets, without anything. And then came back.
You guys had no draft picks left.
Forever. We were just fucking barren. We were a middling playoff team. We were struggling to get to 42 wins.
But listen, and you got
Leif's usage was through the roof.
Again. You guys got access again and you fucked it up again. So
yeah, it was the bank bros thing happened. And then they're just like, fuck these people.
The bank bros thing.
I covered a Ryan Raptors in the practice. Locker
room asking weird questions.
I only asked KZ if you liked anime.
How we were like, so we maybe can't
that's
have
why Kate, maybe that's why Spo fucking benching KZ.
Is Casey like Naruto? Yeah. Is that why? I think that's why.
Yeah, it's creepy.
He liked the worst character in Naruto, though.
He liked Orochimaru. I like Orochimaru. When Spo found out that KZ likes Orochimaru, that's really where the playing time went. Now
Rui Hachimura?
Yes. He's on my fantasy team. I'm waiting for him to get
over. Playboy Machi in the chat. Yes, you're correct about Tim Reynolds. I'm very happy that I don't have to fucking put on airs around these motherfuckers anymore.
Ah, look at that. Now we're from the safety of our own homes doing COVID on Twitch and Zoom.
I used to love like seeing Ira like once every 3 weeks and him acting like it's the first time the motherfucker's ever seen me. Like, hey, you work with Ethan? Bitch, yes, I told you that shit 3 weeks ago.
Like, Ira's always been super nice to me.
Why am I a person to you every time you see me every 3 weeks?
When I introduced myself to Ira for the first time, it was at a Pat Riley Baptist Hospital event. And I found Clay Ferraro, who's like one of the nicest people on earth. And he found me because I didn't know anybody. Because I know Anthony. Anthony had been on the show a bunch. So I was like, where's Anthony? I couldn't find Anthony.
Anthony is our favorite of all the...
Anthony's people. Our guy. The puppet himself. And Barry's then I saw, cool too. Yeah. Barry's cool. I don't know Barry though. I did not know, but I knew Clay. So Clay kind of found me, took me under his wing. Clay's very tall. So I was just kind of like by Clay the whole time, the whole event. And then, you know, I was like, I should probably introduce myself to the other beat writers because, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to cover more stuff. So I go up to Ira. Hi, Ira. I'm Giancarlo from Miami Heat Beat. You know, it's really nice to meet you. Oh, I've seen your tweets, which could mean a lot of things. Could mean anything.
None of them are good.
Probably not.
I think he deleted them all already, but yeah, they were pretty bad.
Chat saying that Manso has a beef with Reynolds. I don't know.
I think that's true. I think the only beef that I know, well, the only beef we definitely know of is Barry and Ira.
Barry and Ira.
Hilarious. Yeah, Barry and Ira are publicly feuding on Twitter at all times.
Let me tell you guys something. From what I know, nobody likes fucking Ira. So, yeah, if you
take I like Ira. I like Ira. Alex Solana and I are Ira Winderman defenders.
There's a reason Ira never breaks any stories.
I like Ira. Well, I like Ira. And by the way, Will Mansell's coming on the show next Thursday, so watch out for that.
We need to stop. We need to stop slandering local.
Yeah, you do. I don't know what you're doing. I like these people.
I don't. I fucking.
You don't, but I do.
Oh boy,
I've been in rooms with these people. Listen, none of them will ever be on Hangover Time.
There's only one guy we really kind of dislike, and it's. You already mentioned
Tim Reynolds. And I don't... Ira,
Turned into...
I like Ira. Ira's good.
He's okay. I don't think I, like, love him, but, like, I can tolerate him. I don't know if I can tolerate
I like Ira.
Him
He's really
I had,
nice to
I
me.
Had to mute Tim's tweets because his freaking jokes are awful on Twitter.
Oh, Tim has a Dion usage on Twitter with jokes.
Ira's big time me a few times, which, honestly, he probably deserves to because who the fuck am I? But at the same time, it's like, give me, you know, leave me alone.
When I used to get mad about not being credentialed, I was like, gee, why are you mad? Who the fuck are you? And I was like, damn, you're right. Who the fuck am I?
Yeah, first of all, why do you want to be credentialed? It's not really that.
Not bad. Anymore. I changed my mind. I'm done.
It's honestly terrible. Like, I've gotten like some good answers from like guys in the locker room, but it gets really old really quick. Like I'm so tired of talking to guys younger than me in their underwear.
Who's your favorite Heat player to talk to?
Josh
Myers.
Really?
1,000%. Like, you'd ask Myers one question, honestly, and you'd have, like, a 15-minute conversation. It was amazing. Yeah, he's...
Goran's really good to talk to,
I wrote,
to
like,
too.
A quarter of the story, but, yeah, he gave me, like, the best interview. I had, like, 10 minutes. That same time where the Heat media was mad at me, I had a 10-minute interview with Myers Leonard, and I asked him everything about, like, Heat culture and, like, just his whole, like, nutrition plan, and that story was, like, amazing, and they finished it for me, but, yeah, I think Myers probably is the best quote on the team.
Myers is the best quote. If you can get Duncan or Tyler, Duncan, Tyler, and Bam, if you can ask them something and you can get them to chuckle a little bit, like, you know you're in and you can keep going. Like, I had some Facebook anniversary shit, and I had, like, some really good, like, back and forth with Tyler, Duncan. I had some good – me and Alex – because me and Alex would always work as a team – and we got some great shit out of Bam. And Derrick Jones Jr., who a lot of people said wasn't a good talker, if you talk to him and just, like, engage him normally, like, he was actually a really good talker. Like, he was really fun to talk to. And
he's
of course,
quiet.
The problem with the locker room is that
they're
if
used
you
to
ain't
the
Ira, you
irons.
Ain't Tim,
yeah.
You can't even get close to Jimmy.
Right.
You can barely get close to Goran. So you have to wait. Like, so when everybody rushes those guys, that's when, like, you go and find somebody else to talk to. And that's when you get the best shit.
Like for Goran, when I talked to Goran, I was working on a story and they had just lost by like 25 points at home. So everyone, Goran's so professional. Like Dwayne came out and then Dwayne does the whole like thing by the locker room and it's like the crowd. But I imagine it's, you know, every fucking media outlet in South Florida is there. Every Telemundo, every fucking Spanish network is trying to talk to Dwayne. Everyone's talking to Dwayne. And I was like, well, I'm not even going to try that. So when they all went to Dwayne, that's when I would slide over to Josh and be like, hey, Josh, what's up, man? And Josh and I were kind of friendly. I miss Josh. He was great. Justice, not the best talker. As much as we love Justice.
I asked Justice if he was better too. The first time I was in the,
that was awkward as fuck, Brian. That was super. It was so.
Oh awkward. Yeah, that's right. Because you were trying to coerce Justice to say it.
It was not. It almost okay.
Worked. It almost.
Do you have the sound? Yeah. So well, we can
I mean,
play it?
How bad is it compared to you showing him your music video on an iPad of you singing?
He loved it.
He loved that.
He loved it.
He thought that was cool shit.
I think it went really well until Brad said that it was him singing. And I think that's when it got awkward. I'm gonna be
honest. It ended up getting awkward, sure. But he liked it. I'm just saying.
He liked it.
But like trying to get like,
yeah, that's me singing.
Trying to get people to like, you know, say something, like to egg them into saying a phrase and shit. That just gets weird.
You should have just been like, this is some weirdo fans, bro. I don't know what kind of weirdo would make a song about you, but here, like, and he was enjoying it, and they was like, oh, that's me singing. It was like, oh.
That's fair. I'll take that.
Listen, we all know Solomon Hill's the best talker. Friend of the show. Brian, we got to get Solomon back. The next time that he play the Hawks, we got to try to get Solomon Hill back.
The Hawks are good, and I'm scared of them.
They're fun. Solomon Hill will be starting on this team right now. He'd be the starting four. Like, not, that's not even a joke.
No, yeah, he probably would.
He can't be worse than Mo Harkless.
He played in the finals. He was good.
How could you be Mo Harkless?
I'll down that hill.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.